Everybody, welcome to the Two Woke Nerds podcast. We have been away for a while while my chocolate bear got even more chocolate on a cruise, but we are back just in time to talk about something that's very important, something that's very near and dear to our heart, something that I have never been to, unfortunately, but it's something we need to make a pilgrimage out there soon enough, and that is Comic-Con. So, Gerald, you were gone through most of it. Were you excited by Comic-Con?
I'm never excited like going in because again I've never been, so I would love to be there in Hall H and see all the cool stuff. By the way, why is Hall H the big hall? Like, it seems like a really, like, is it the biggest room at the place? Like, I don't get it.
Hall I is always booked by the Pottery Club.
Got
so
it.
So they have to go to Hall H.
Well, I mean, my name is Gerald, so I'm always partial to anything that's a G. So Hall G would be my go-to.
Hall G is where they hold is where they hold all the screenings of Straight Outta Compton.
Hey.
That would have been awesome. Hall G would be pretty cool.
I had no retort because that was a perfect joke, Raymond. I have nothing else to add.
Hall old G. So yeah, we're gonna go through Comic-Con, talk about, you know, the things that interest us. Marvel, it seems like, dominated Comic-Con, and so we'll spend quite a bit of time on them. DC surprised me. I think we could say
yes.
Good surprise.
Yes.
We're not gonna talk about Walking Dead, even though there was some cool Walking Dead stuff that happened, because Gerald hates Walking Dead.
I do.
So we're not gonna get into that. But there was some interesting Walking Dead stuff. But we'll get into some of the other things. So let's just get started in Marvel. I don't have many thoughts from a lot of this because I think a lot of it was stuff we already knew. It didn't seem like there was any groundbreaking stuff. There were some cool trailers, but I know that you loved everything. So start us up. What was your favorite thing from the Marvel?
My favorite thing from the Marvel, man, that's like asking me to pick my kids. There were so many awesome things. I mean, the Doctor Strange trailer finally showed us how weird this movie is going to get, and I feel like it's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, it was just 3 minutes of weirdness, and it had a really good sense of humor about it. You know, the thing at the end with the Wi-Fi password. Yeah, like,
that was good.
I like to laugh. I love laughing. My wife doesn't laugh out loud. She's kind of a nod and smile kind of person, and she laughed out loud when that happened. So I love the sense of humor of it. I think Cumberbatch's American accent is growing on me. It sounds less like a Dr. House impression and more, it doesn't sound quite natural yet, but again, it may sound okay.
He learned how to speak naturally at the Florida, or what is it, the Pinnacle? I lost the joke. I'm sorry, 30 Rock fans, you'll have to tell me.
they'll tweet.
Do you remember Jenna, the Tampa School for Dramatic Tricks, where she learned how to speak?
Yes.
How to speak naturally.
Naturally. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I messed that one up.
You're fine. Honestly, the thing from, I could talk about all of this. You know, I love the Baron Mordo stuff. I hope it's not going to be your typical Marvel, like, oh, he was evil the whole time, or, oh, he went evil right at the last minute. I don't know. I hope that's not what they do. I hope they see, hope they do something different with that. I thought the Hulk armor was really cool from Thor Ragnarok. I love that Marvel is just totally putting the thumb screws on Universal by making a Planet Hulk movie without making a Planet Hulk movie. Like, that's just kind of ridiculous.
And I liked that they're not trying to like hide it. They basically confirmed, like, they basically just confirmed what the first half of the movie is.
Yeah.
Or at least the first quarter of the movie. And that's exactly what we speculated out when we first started talking about, you know, who was being cast, you know, and where it was coming out. And we got to see some cool art with Jeff Goldblum sitting next to Loki.
Yes.
So we got to see, which I'm all for, by the way.
And more, so Goldblum is never a bad thing.
His turn, Conan had a, you know, he did the whole thing for Comic-Con this week. And he did this whole thing, or last week, I suppose. And he did this whole thing of people auditioning to be young Han Solo and Goldblum's turn in that video. If you haven't seen that video, I recommend go watch it.
Melissa McCarthy's great in it. I'll have to check that out.
There's some great, but Goldblum's turn in that video. John Heder's great in it, but Goldblum was perfect. It was just, it was great. So yeah, any more Goldblum. But I do like that there weren't like trying to hide it. Oh, what's this going to be about? Everybody knows what it's going to be about. And so they're just letting the fanboys have their fun and showing them the armor, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. I think honestly the biggest disappointment for me out of Marvel is that they didn't release as much footage as I wanted them to. You know, I'm a sucker for this stuff. Like I would have loved to see the Guardians footage. There's so much about that, you know, that the baby Groot running around not understanding what they're trying to get him to do. I mean, granted, those laughs are going to be so genuine and so good in the theater that I don't necessarily want them ruined by a 3-minute YouTube clip that I watch on my phone. So I think that is probably better. I loved hearing the Kurt Russell casting. Like, this is so James Gunn. It's not like, how are they going to do Ego the Living Planet? One, as Kurt Russell, and two, as a... I don't know how they're going to do it. Does he transform into a man? And
he can't.
And,
he cannot be a planet. Like, that... That can't play well, in a movie.
Ego the Living Planet is a planet with a face. And so...
Yeah, I know. That can't play. Like, there's no way that's in the movie.
We've seen the first Guardian, so, you know, okay. There's a lot that could happen.
You failed to mention the most important part of the Kurt Russell casting is that Stallone's also going to be in there. Well, so Tango and Cash together.
I was going to get to that. You know I'm a huge Stallone fan. I like, they haven't said who Stallone's going to be. I don't care in the slightest bit. You get me Stallone and Kurt Russell, like, I'm going to be dense.
They could just play their characters from Tango and Cash.
They could.
And it'd be wonderful.
They could do a shot-for-shot remake of Tango and Cash and call it Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and I'd be there. Like, I could not want to see that movie more. You know, the Black Panther casting announcements were awesome. I mean, they, again, not a lot of this was groundbreaking news, but they confirmed Michael B. Jordan is Eric Killmonger, which is fantastic casting. I don't know of an actor better to play the direct foil to Chadwick Boseman's Black Panther than Michael B. Jordan. They're both such strong actors. And to me, this feels almost like it's going to be what the original Thor was and why I loved it so much, because the rift between T'Challa, Black Panther, and the Killmonger family, well, not the Killmonger family, that's an assumed name, but in Michael B. Jordan, Killmonger's family, that rift is so deeply personal. Like, Killmonger blames T'Challa's father, T'Chaka, for his father's death. And so seeing both of them deal with the loss of parents and that be a rift between them, I think it's going to be fantastic. Lupita Nyong'o being, you know, a former king's bodyguard that then turns and kind of sides with Killmonger in this whole thing, it's going to be fantastic. You know, I love seeing this cast. I'm really intrigued when they're finally going to confirm the worst kept secret in the world, that Bucky Barnes is going to come out of the deep freeze for this movie. Still haven't said anything about that, but I'm intrigued to see that and hear about that. So I'm really excited about Black Panther.
And Michonne was cast in it, right?
She was. I can't say her name, so I'm trying to avoid it.
Is it Danea Gurria?
Yeah, I that's better than I could do.
But I have no idea what her name is either. Her name is Michonne.
Michonne, yeah. And so she's playing Okoye, which is a lot easier to pronounce than her actual name. Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
The pride of Isuzu Pacific.
Wow, you went deep for that one, right?
The only reason I know that is because there's a fourth string running back on the Browns named Terrell Watson who also went to Isuzu Pacific. So I had to look up who was the last player that went to Isuzu Pacific.
Wow,
that's right. That was we're getting my other nerddom into the podcast. It's just leaking in.
You went super deep for that one. Like, I'm impressed. No, but Michonne is playing kind of the head of these King's bodyguards. We saw a little glimpse of them in Civil War with the Black Panther scene that everyone was like, no, let them fight.
Yeah. I'm interested to see this. Is that 10 minutes of movie? We'll be fine.
It's already 2.5 hours. What's another 10 minutes?
We'll be okay.
you know, the Spider-Man Homecoming panel and the concept art. One of my favorite things to come out of Spider-Man Homecoming, other than the Vulture concept art, I cannot wait to see Michael Keaton rocking that Vulture costume, is Marvel did these, like, cast pictures, and they did some of the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming, and they're posed like the cover of The Breakfast Club. And I hope that's the vibe that they go for with this movie, of like a fun quintessential high school experience that just happens to be punctuated by superhero action. Like, I think that would be something fresh and new that we haven't seen before. And I think that's exactly the tone that you need in a Spider-Man film. And so I really hope, and that's what a lot of the rumors and the scuttlebutt from the, you know, all the reports of the people that were there are saying, is like, oh, it's got a very John Hughes vibe to it, which I think would be amazing, like absolutely amazing for a Spider-Man film, because it's something that, again, we haven't seen before. It's brand new, and I would love to see that.
And they also, you know, cast real teenagers to be in it, which is a step, in my opinion, in the right direction. I don't know if everybody agrees with that, but that was one of the things about the Hughes movies, is that they weren't teenagers, but they were young. And so you could tell that was what was going on. And so I liked it. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned, by far of the Marvel presentations, the best part of that. And that was the Netflix side.
I'm getting to it. It's down on my list, right?
Why is it down on your list? It should be first. The Luke Cage teaser trailer was excellent. I love it.
Yes.
Like, could you have a better introduction to the character than, hey, this guy, you can't hurt him. And he just walks through with a door and gets shot up 1,000 times and makes a joke about his clothes. And then the Defenders, it wasn't any footage, but the, you know, going through that poster and ripping out all the words. And what I have to say about it, and it hit me, I watched the Luke Cage one and I said, I love that. I love this. And then I watched the Defenders one and I went, oh, this is a thing they're doing. Whoever is running music at the Netflix Marvel is on point. Because as soon as Luke Cage and that Luke Cage trailer started, and you hear Shimmy Shimmy Ya by ODB, and it starts coming on, and you're like, oh yeah, this is, bring me home, baby.
Yeah.
Bring me back to the 90s when Wu-Tang ruled. And then you come on and you get to the Defenders, which is going to be super gritty, and you get Come As You Are by Nirvana. Like, it's just, it's perfect. Like, everything about those two pieces was just perfect to me, and like describing what Netflix is trying to do with their Marvel properties. And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, and I completely agree. That was honestly the only thing that disappointed me was staying on Netflix, is that there wasn't cool music with the Iron Fist teaser. It was cool because I know what's going on, but if you don't know what's going on in an Iron Fist story, you're completely lost.
I was going to ask you, I know that you like this character, and that's what has me excited about it. I have no idea what that teaser was about.
Yeah, so basically the teaser served literally two purposes, if you're looking at it. One, it shows like how Iron Fist got to the mystical land of Kunlun, is how it's pronounced. Basically, he airplane crash in the mountains, both of his parents die, he's found by some monks, goes to Kunlun, becomes a martial arts expert. And that's, I'm sure it's going to be all done through flashbacks like they did with Daredevil. But, and then the thing that really makes me excited for this is you see him in the insane asylum, which makes me think that he tells people how he gets his powers, which he goes to the city that doesn't exist on a map and only shows up, I think it's every 9 years in the plane of men. He becomes their champion, and then he basically wrestles a dragon to the death and then plunges his hands into its chest and absorbs its chi. And that's how he gains the powers of the Iron Fist. And so the fact that he's in an insane asylum makes me think that he tells people that. Oh, I wasn't dead. I was just in a mythic city that doesn't really exist. And I wrestled a dragon to death and then took its power. Oh, really, crazy guy? Let's go to this shelter. So that's what makes me think it. And then they had the really cool shot of him knocking the wall down, which I love the symmetry of the Luke Cage trailer ending with him kicking the bars down, and the Iron Fist trailer ending with him knocking the door down, because it really draws a tie between the two, because those two are very, even outside of the Defenders, they're very closely related. They were heroes, the heroes for hire for years, and they're bringing that back for Civil War II, which is something I want to mention in a mini Don't Sleep on It later. But yeah, I loved the music. Like, I think you said it best. Like, the minute I heard even the pianos, because I like ODB is a favorite of mine. Just the I was like, oh, all right, I'm in. And even like subtle hints of like the lyrics of that song lend itself to the action in the trailer, because he's not protecting himself at all. The only reason why he has the door is because he doesn't want his clothes to get shot up. But in side note, there's a really funny interaction between the official Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage Twitter accounts. If you haven't gone and checked that out, basically the Iron Fist Twitter account is making fun of the Luke Cage trailer, asking if his superpower is helping people move their cars. it really plays up the repartee between them. That's the thing that I really hope the Defenders brings. Like, these Netflix shows are really, you know, dark and gritty, and you know, just, you know, I hate that dark and gritty term, but it's very like street level, very raw and brutal. But the repartee between these characters is what's going to bring, that's been my biggest complaint about the two shows that they've done so far, is Daredevil and Jessica Jones, that there's very little levity. And I hope, you know, I want to hear Luke Cage drop a Jiminy Christmas and use one of his terrible catchphrases, and Iron Fist makes some snide comment that everybody rolls their eyes at, because that's part of what makes the characters. But some of the biggest news that was a terribly kept secret is the Brie Larson casting. Everybody went nuts for this. I mean, we saw it coming a mile away.
Yeah, I was surprised that like it got play, like it got news. I was like, haven't we known this for literally months? Literally months.
We have, but I think this is like the abused, the shelter dog syndrome. You know, when you adopt a dog from the shelter, it still has some of that, oh, I was abandoned, I was abused kind of mentality. And so I think comic book fans have some of that with movies and TV shows still, because we're like, ah, we've been hurt before, don't do this to me again. And so the fact that you get Brie Larson, who's coming off of an Oscar-winning performance in a tentpole film for Marvel, their first female-led film, in a character that's as pivotal to the Marvel Universe as Captain Marvel, who's probably going to be the centerpiece to the phases beyond Infinity War, I would imagine. You get a star like that, you lock her down for 7 pictures, and you make her the Steve Rogers, you know, Tony Stark of phases 5, 6, and 7. So I can't say enough about all the awesome stuff that Marvel did.
And she might, to your point, she might be a bigger star by the time that this all comes out because of Kong.
Yep.
Because of Skull Island, which also... Did you watch that trailer? I don't know if you watched it.
I didn't. Is it good? No.
That movie's not going to be good. I could feel it in my chest. The movie's not going to be good, but I bet it does well, because movies do well. So she might even be a bigger star by then. You know, like you said, there was a ton in the Marvel stuff. we could go on and on and on about it. I was disappointed. You know, the trailers were pretty good. But I was disappointed there wasn't as much news, as maybe as much reveal stuff as I thought there would be. Mm-hmm. And I was also disappointed because I'm a Marvel guy, because I'm a movie guy. I'm not a comic book guy. So Marvel's clearly won that war up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the trailers for DC, I think, had me a lot more excited. So let's start with the Suicide Squad trailer, which I'm so pumped to watch this movie.
Yeah, like here's how good those trailers were, because I basically, my wife and I, we got back from traveling really late Saturday going into Sunday, and so we kind of just spent all day in bed on Sunday just watching TV. And so I played all of the Marvel trailers for her, all of the stuff that we had, so the Netflix series and the Doctor Strange, and then I played the DC trailers, just one. I played the Suicide Squad trailer, or maybe it was a Justice League trailer, one of the two. Hadn't played the rest of them. And she said, oh, DC finally caught up with Marvel. Like, that is the common perception of how good these trailers were. And so, yeah, the Suicide Squad trailer, I didn't know I could get more excited for this movie.
They got Rick Ross on the mic.
Rick Ross, ex-Skrillex. It's hard to go wrong for like a summer movie with that type of soundtrack. I'm super annoyed that the Suicide Squad song is not done by Will Smith. Super annoyed by that. Thanks, IO9, for getting my hopes up.
I'm not.
Can Can Big Willie at least drop a verse? Come on.
I don't want Rick Ross and Will Smith ever on a track together, ever.
He's the only reason these dudes ever get invited to the Grammys. Let's just be honest here.
Purple Lamborghini.
But no, that trailer hit it tonally, perfectly. I'm really, really, like, I can't say, they had little character moments for everybody. Again, Captain Boomerang, I'm so excited. Like, he just looks ridiculous. I don't know why I'm obsessed with Captain Boomerang, but he just looked like, that sums up the sense of humor in this movie. Like,
well, I liked that Will Smith was just doing Will Smith things.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, you want us to go up into that swirling ball of trash? Like, you go, oh, that's Will Smith's line from every Men in Black and from every Bad Boys he's ever done. Like, it was Will Smith doing Will Smith things. And then Harley Quinn, getting to see her just go straight Harley Quinn was just great. She's going to be awesome in this movie.
She's going to be fantastic. And I want to see what the interplay between the Joker and them is, because it's the more I watch of it, the more I feel like they're two very distinct acts of the film. I feel like most of the Joker action is going to be Harley Quinn flashbacks. I'm just not seeing any scenes or anything that even look like they could possibly cross over. So I'm really thinking that most of the Joker stuff is going to be in the past. I think all of that is going to be how Harley Quinn came to be. I'm still really, really confused as to what the big threat is. I mean, everyone says it's going to be Enchantress, but again, they haven't shown me much. I think that's probably what it is, the fact that they're not showing much of her really confirms
and
that.
The fact that she's been cast by somebody whose name I can't say, but who's been a rising star seems to suggest, because that's who Cara DeVernay, that's her name, right? That's who she plays in Suicide.
Yeah.
Delevingne. That's who she plays. And so she's this rising star, but you haven't seen her in any of the trailers. That
you
seems
seen,
to suggest
like,
that's
quick
what's
going shots.
On.
And there's like that past that they hint at in the first trailer with her and Joel Kinnaman, I think, is the actor, who's like the super Wonder Bread milk toast guy in all of these films. But the soundtrack is great. Like, they didn't show a ton of new footage in that trailer. But it was high energy, and I think it started off, I think Suicide Squad is starting this rebranding that I think DC Comics or DC, films is going to try to do of being, I don't want to say light because these films are never going to be light, but having more levity to them, being fun. Cause again, I harp on this a lot. That was the big complaint about Batman vs. Superman, was it just wasn't fun. Like, it's a superhero movie. Why is it not fun? And so I think Suicide Squad is starting that out. And I think that dovetails us perfectly to Wonder Woman.
I would actually say that fits in more with the Justice League trailer. Like, that was my whole takeaway from the Justice League trailer was, oh, they made a joke. They smiled. Like the Flash said something funny.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, I was... By the way, I like that actor a lot. I'm completely in on him as the Flash. But like the whole thing was like, I sit there and I went, oh, those are smiles, those are laughs. That's what they're doing. And I took something completely different out of the Wonder Woman trailer, which we can talk about later in a second. But when I think about, oh, there's some levity here, I thought that was the Justice League, which is good, because that's what Snyder's doing next. So
absolutely, and I would bet. I would bet any amount of money that Snyder has very little control at this point on the direction of this film. I would put a lot of money on Geoff Johns being on that set saying, do that, don't do that, yes, do this. And the reason I say that is these Aquaman shots look just like things that Geoff Johns put in comic books about Aquaman that he created. Side note, are you ready to finally admit that Aquaman is pretty awesome in this trailer, Raymond? You finally ready to admit that?
No. I'll admit that Khal Drogo looks cool, but I'm not in on the Aquaman. That interplay between Bruce Wayne and Wonder Woman, that interplay that they had about Jason Momoa, about Khal Drogo, was
thanks for correcting
awesome.
Yourself.
It was awesome. Like they had like that kind of back and forth they had, and that's what I'm talking about. That's great. That's why do we love Avengers? Well, lots of reasons we love Avengers, but the repartee between Tony Stark and everybody just makes the movie much more enjoyable.
Yeah. And I really like, I can't say enough, like, I feel like they're finally capturing what makes some of these characters tick, and some of these characters, some of these characters work. Like you said, Ezra Miller, who plays the Flash, like he's kind of the heart of the team, and he does some of that. He's like the young guy, like he's got these jokes. He's watching Rick and Morty in his lair. If you didn't notice that, he's watching Rick and Morty, which is,
I didn't see that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, when Affleck is sitting in his second favorite chair, which is a great joke. Yeah. The Rick and Morty is on the. I think it's the episode where Rick and Morty's sister, I can't remember what Morty's sister's name is, but they beat up the devil. It's just hilarious. But I love the way that they're showing his, like, the Flash's powers. Like, you see very different portrayals of his powers, and I think it's very cool that they're making, because Superman is so powerful in this universe that to even have a metahuman to keep up with him, they have to be equally as powerful. And the fact that Ezra Miller can just step into the Speed Force to get super nerdy on you is kind of levels the playing field a little bit. The same thing with Aquaman. I was really hoping for, there's a really famous shot in an Aquaman comic where somebody makes the, oh, you can talk to fish jokes, and he walks to the end of the pier and just raises his arms and sharks explode out of the sea. I was really hoping for that. But I think it's the sense of humor. You see Ben Affleck crack a smile, which he didn't do at all in BVS. Like you said, the back and forth between him and Wonder Woman, was it, did he say yes, more or less? Was it more no, or more less, or more? He basically said no. Like that whole thing. I loved that footage. And I had zero hopes for this, like zero hopes whatsoever after being really excited for BVS and going in and that tapering off as the weeks got closer.
That's your own fault, because I called that movie being terrible from Jump Street. That's your own fault for having any expectations for that movie.
It is my own fault.
Still haven't seen it, by the way. Refuse to see it. I refuse.
Watch the 3-hour cut, Raymond. What do you?
I have better things to do with my life, like learn about the fourth string running back for the Cleveland Browns.
That footage was fantastic. I was completely surprised because they just started filming this thing a couple weeks ago. So I was like, I was floored by that footage. Again, no sight of Henry Cavill. So that means that most of this is probably from the first act of the film. I think the first act of the film is going to be essentially all of Marvel Phase 1 rolled into about 45 minutes of just Ben Affleck playing Nick Fury and assembling. That's one of the questions that I have, is when they first started teasing Batman vs. Superman, and they did the... they did the teaser posters and they did the Unite the Seven thing. I'm really intrigued as to who number seven is, because you see six of them. You see, you know, Superman's there, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Flash, Cyborg. Who's number seven? Is seven going to show up in the film? Is seven going to be hinted at? Is it going to be Green Lantern? Is it going to be Martian Manhunter? Is it going to be, like, I don't know who it's going to be. And that's super intriguing to me as a comic fan. You can't say Unite the Seven leading into a Justice League movie and not have seven in it, because I want to know who number seven is.
You know what I thought was, I forget where I read this, maybe on The Ringer, and they were comparing, they made the perfect, I think, analogy for this movie. This is Ocean's 11 with superheroes. And Ben Affleck is George Clooney. Like, that's really what it is. They're just going to spend most of the movie, you know, assembling the team. Yeah. And that's fun. That's fun to watch. Like, people get to know each other. As long as they do it right, that's fun. You mentioned Wonder Woman being fun. I didn't see that. I mean, there was some of it there. You know, Chris Pine's always going to add, you know, levity wherever he, you know, wherever he is or whatever he's doing. So having him there is going to help. You know, the time period worked so good for Captain America that you kind of like that decision. I think that, though, this looks like a feminist, you know, opus. Like, this looks perfect. And the line in it that just, it jumped out to me, the Jezebel reader, perfectly, which was, only the comments, to be fair, but where he comes out and he says, I even forget what Chris Pine says, because who cares what the man says.
I won't let you do this.
Yeah, I won't let you do this. And she goes, like, you don't have any control or what I do, or what I do is not up to you. And I went, oh,
yeah,
snap. And I went, oh, that's what this movie's going to be about? 100% in.
Yeah, and I love a good period piece. If you know me well, you know that about me.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, one of your favorites.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was on Netflix, and I totally watched fantastic. The fire out of that.
I loved
that book. The movie was nothing like the book, but I loved it anyways. Anthony Mackie reference, like, in that film as well, so just bring it back to Marvel. I thought it was looked really cool. The line that got me was the slavery joke at the end of the trailer. Like, again, my wife doesn't laugh out loud a lot in movies and TV shows, but she died laughing at that. But this was another trailer that doesn't give you much of the plot, but it gives you so many details. And I think that's what trailers should be, and that's what trailers need to be. I'm really tired of trailers ruining most, if not all, of the film for you before you go in. And so I really thought, like, this, I don't know what's happening in this movie. I can piece together, okay, Steve Trevor crash lands on the island. He gets her involved in World War I. That's it. Like, that's all I can piece together from this. And I think that's so cool that you don't, granted, this film comes out like a year from now. So, there's a lot of time for them to ruin that. But I'm real, like, I think it looks cool. I love that they're establishing Wonder Woman as this dangerous martial artist, this dangerous hand-to-hand combatant, because that's what, you know, plants her in the pantheon of the Justice League. You know, she is, if she has equal powers with Superman, she wins, because she's the better tactician, she's the better fighter. She totally owns the rest of the members of the Justice League other than Superman, simply because he's got the strength on her. And so I think that's what this trailer did really well. You see her with the lasso just owning people, and you see the jump and turn with the bow and arrow. It's so cool. It's such a cool shot. Hope it's not in slow-mo. We get enough of that in the other DC films. But it looked legitimately like a well-done period piece. And again, this is going to be to DC what I hope the first Avenger was for Marvel, which gives it, that was kind of the first Marvel film that broke it out of the superhero movie genre and just became a movie about superheroes. And so I really think that's what this film is going to do for the DC universe. And I'm really excited to see that.
So there was other stuff other than DC and Marvel. There were lots of other things. And so I figured, I guess we just finish this up by hitting on some of our favorites. It's hard for me to pick my favorite, but I think something we talked about a couple weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, which was Legion on FX, the Noah Hawley project. Noah Hawley is the GOAT and can do no wrong. And so I had no fear, but I watched this trailer and I was just 100% in. I mean, it looks like it's just an extension of the Fargo world. Like, the way that it's made, the way that it's shot with the colors, with the stylized way it's done, it's just beautiful. The irreverent kind of ridiculous things that are happening, like the dance scene in the trailer, is the most Fargo thing I've ever seen in my entire life. That's not on Fargo. Like, it's like like, it's like if the Coen brothers made a superhero movie, it looks like Legion on FX. I like that Matthew Crawley is the main character. I love Aubrey Plaza. I mean, Aubrey Plaza is fantastic.
Who doesn't love Aubrey Plaza?
Exactly. Like, if you never heard how she got cast on Parks and Rec, you should go and read that story, because it's hilarious. They just said they didn't have a role for her. They just said, we just auditioned this super weird person that you should put on television. And so they found a place to put Aubrey Plaza. So it looks great. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait for Legion.
Yeah, that the Legion trailer was fantastic. One of the things that I really jumped out at me was the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them trailer. I love me some Harry Potter. I love me some J.K. Rowling. And that trailer was also, I mean, Colin Farrell with a magic wand. Like, what more do you need?
Can I say that I did not, for somehow this escaped me, because I knew that movie was coming out. I was looking forward to that movie. I like the Harry Potter universe. It somehow escaped me that Colin Farrell was in that movie,
yeah.
Which I love Colin Farrell. It makes up for the fact that Dan Fogler, who is the personification of trying too hard, it makes up for the fact that he's in that movie. As soon as I saw Colin Farrell, I went, all right, sold, in.
Yeah, that was, like, it was so stinking cool, that trailer. I mean, you got John Voight in the movie. I mean, it's...
Hold on, does he have a shotgun?
He doesn't, unfortunately.
Does he have a magic wand? Because that would replace it.
I don't know if he does or not. I can't confirm nor deny. But no, that was so cool. I mean, Ezra Miller, who's you know, the Flash is in the movie. It's just really, really cool. I think it's very fitting that, you know, I was comparing some of the American and British Wizarding World stuff because I'm that kind of nerd. And I think it's very fitting that the British get this really cute, cool term for people that aren't magical, that are muggles. And then you go to America and it's nomad. It sounds like it's a totally Boston American, like New York, I'm way too busy to think of something. Hey, nomad, get out of my way. Like that's totally what it is. And so that was really cool. You know, soft spot in my heart, there's a little bit of news that came out about Mallrats 2 having all of the original cast. That was like a late addition to it. You know how I love me some Kevin Smith. If I had to pick from the best of the rest, it would definitely be Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Like, that trailer was fantastic.
But, like, kind of to what I think you just said is, it was hard, though.
Yeah.
Like, the American Gods trailer.
Bro.
Ian McShane. As soon as I saw Ian McShane, I was, all right.
In
where do I send the money?
Yeah,
because it looked absolutely awesome, and that's such a cool story that is so fitting for the world that we live in. That this you know, this commercialized world that we live in, where even our presidential elections can't escape the fame fetish that we have in this country, and it's such a perfect time for this show to be released, and it's got great people in it. Gillian Anderson's in it. She's going to play the media god, the god of media. They have, you know, Ian McShane, as I said. It's going to be wonderful. That looked awesome.
Yeah, you got Christian Chenoweth in it, who's like one of my low-key favorite people in the world. Like, who doesn't love some Christian Chenoweth?
Exactly. I still don't know why she's famous, but every time she shows up somewhere, I go, hey, I like you.
She is famous from being in the original cast of Wicked on Broadway, and then people just got obsessed with her.
I just kind of confuse her with the girl from The Closer on TNT.
I could see that, but no, like, I love me some Neil Gaiman, and so I think American Gods is going to be fantastic. I'm going to have to figure out a way to see that because I'm a cord cutter, so how do I get a hold of stars? I don't know.
I can get something on your iPad without a jailbreak, and I'll show you how to do that later.
I'll take this call off air. But no, yeah, American Gods, like, that story is so cool. I think it's gonna be fantastic. And they even, like, they said, the creator said, like, something that's almost the kiss of death when it comes to adaptations, but they said what you love about the book, you're going to see in the show. And so if you tell a fan that and they have a weird part of the book that they love, or something that's off the beaten path, maybe not a main plot point, that fan's going to be pissed off. So I think that may be just a little bit of a misstep on somebody's part. I'm super in for that. You sent me a link that I somehow missed, but The Good Place.
That's right up both of our alleys right there.
Yeah. I mean, from the creators of Park and Rec, the first sentence on the screen, you've got me.
Yeah, so if you don't know, Michael Schur, he was involved in The Office. He didn't create it. He was a writer. He wrote for SNL. You probably, if you wanted to, like, picture who he is, he played Moe's on The Office. And so that's Michael Schur. He was in. He created Parks and Rec. He co-created Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's been involved in three of the best sitcoms of this century. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of the, if you're not watching, it's one of the best sitcoms on TV right now. And it stars Kristen Bell, who absolutely love. It's got Ted Danson in it. And it's this really cool idea about this woman who dies and accidentally goes to what they're calling the good place, obviously heaven. And it's just a really, the trailer's funny, it's clever. Kristen Bell is perfect. Like the cursing thing that they do in there is just fantastic. Because I know that if I accidentally got sent to heaven, there would be nothing but F bombs coming out that I would hope that God would censor with his power. Like it was fantastic. The whole thing just made me so happy. And so I'm really looking forward to it. It is unfortunately on NBC, which is where good things go to die. But I'm hoping for the best.
We got several good seasons of Parks and Rec from NBC.
That was a long time ago.
It was like 3 years ago, right?
It feels like much longer ago.
It feels like forever. It feels like forever. I'll give you that. But no, I was very surprised by that. I honestly skipped the King Arthur trailer. Because
what's wrong with you? It's got Jax in it.
I don't know. Like, I think since Snatch, I haven't really been a guy. I feel like Guy Ritchie has become, like, the best way I can describe it is, like, when you see a movie that's kind of edgy and people like it, and then you see a lot of people that, like, imitate it and kind of do, like, a sanitized version of that and try to make it good. That's what I feel like Guy Ritchie is doing to Guy Ritchie movies.
Guy Ritchie's impersonating Guy Ritchie.
It's exactly like you watch Lock, Stock, and then you watch like the latest Sherlock Holmes movie, and you're like, wait, this is the same person?
Hold on, like, you didn't like the Sherlock Holmes movies?
They were okay.
I don't even know if we can be friends anymore.
Sherlock Holmes is not an action hero. Like, stop it. Stop. Let him solve a mystery. Stop.
It's fantastic. And this looks like so Guy Ritchie. Like, it's just random violence. And, like, it's like a hyper, if you don't know what the King Arthur movie is, it's like this hyper fantastical movie with, like, beasts and magic, obviously, because you have to have magic in King Arthur, and just like super Guy Ritchie violence starring Jax from Sons of Anarchy and Jude Law randomly, because Jude Law's in every Guy Ritchie film apparently. But like, I loved it. I thought it looked crazy. I thought it looked nuts. I thought it looked like an LSD fever dream, but I was in. I thought it looked really cool. I was super in.
Yeah, I think, well, one of the things is like, they kind of, is it magic? Is it not magic? But I think the thing that gave me like the Guy Ritchie eye roll is what I'm calling it, is when they reached for like, I heard that they reached for like some coins and it did like the cha-ching thing. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Like, that was what, I was like, I'm out. Like, that does nothing for me.
Speaking of Sherlock, it's funny you mentioned Sherlock. He's not an action hero, but the new season 4 trailer for Sherlock, which is a show I know both you and I are completely in on.
Yes.
It looked like they're kind of going that way. It's definitely going considerably darker than it was before.
I think you can go dark in that with that Sherlock and not do an action-y thing. Like, I think they've done an okay job of towing the line at times. There are some times where I'm like, granted, it's a modern retelling of it. But, you know, then you see the moments where he gets shot and he's calculating how to fall after he gets shot. And I'm like, okay, now this is Sherlock Holmes. I don't know how to feel about this. The trailer, honestly, like, I'm going to give it a shot because I love, love, love this series. I would argue it's one of the best going on TV. I think because they do like the four mini movies a season gives them a lot of leeway to work with. I don't know how they're going to explain the massive amount of muscle that Benedict Cumberbatch has put on now that he's a movie star. You go watch season one of Sherlock and then you watch the Doctor Strange trailer. You're like, oh my gosh, that dude has done nothing but eat protein and work out for the last 5 years. It looks like I'm intrigued. I don't know how they're going to do the Moriarty thing. I'm assuming it's going to be a posthumous thing, but again, it could be a... Moffat will get my money because it's Stephen Moffat, and I'll always subscribe to Stephen Moffat. Say what you want about him falling in love with his characters, but I'll watch it because of Stephen Moffat, and he's earned my trust up till this point.
Yeah, I didn't particularly like it, but I would say that I think the best thing to say about it is the most upsetting part of the trailer was that it said 2017 instead of 2016 at the end, which kind of tells you how you feel about the show. And that's the part that upset you the most. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good. There are lots of smaller things going on. They did come out with a new Star Trek title and ship, the Star Trek Discovery, which they didn't use the hashtag STD.
That's when you know no one in your marketing department is under the age of 40. Thanks, CBS.
Hashtag STD.
Anyway, nobody in CBS marketing is younger than 53.
Anyway, the new ship looked cool, and I like that it's going to be a completely new cast, a new series. They have no connection to the old any of the old series, so that's good. There were some other little things. One of our favorites, Luc Besson.
Nice.
Besson.
That's good.
Of the Fifth Element fame. I think we had a long conversation one week about the Fifth Element, about how there are people who don't like the Fifth Element, and I don't understand them, and we can't be friends. But he's coming out with a new movie. There was no footage that I could find, although there was some shown in the hall, so I assume that'll leak at some point. But it's called Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets. All I have to say is he made The Professional, Leon. The Professional, he made The Fifth Element, he made Lucy. I'm in, 100% in.
Yeah, I'm. You tell me Luc Besson is making a sci-fi film, and I'm in 100%.
Besson,
right? No, I like, and the fact that it's been a passion project of his for so long. I mean, how old is he now? He's got to be in his 60s, right? Like he's.
I don't know. French people don't age.
1959. How old does that make him?
I was not aware there'd be math.
Yeah.
It makes him 57.
57? Feels great. So he's pushing 60 and he's wanted to make this movie since he was 13. Like, it's a passion project for him. I'm really, like, that makes it cool in my mind. I think French comics are usually really weird. So I'm intrigued to see what happens. But you've got, we talked about it earlier, Cara Delevingne. Dane DeHaan is in it. Who's one of those people that's like, he's one of those people that like, is his star going to rise or is he going to fall back? Cause you know, he was in a lot of okay things. And then he was in like the Metallica movie. So you don't know, like he was in Lawless and he was good in Lawless. And then he did, you know, Metallica and Harry Potter. So there's a lot happening there. I think he could be awesome. But again, it just looks, I watched someone explaining what the comic was, and it just looks weird. And the fact that, you know, he's not going to tell you, like, who the villain is heading into it, I think is going to be really cool. I mean, you've got John Goodman hasn't done a bad movie in a very long time, so that makes me hopeful. You've got Clive Owen, Rihanna. Anytime I see someone who's a pop star in a movie, it's like, I don't know, but Rihanna could be awesome.
It worked out really well for Battleship.
Yeah, that was fantastic. But yeah, no, I think it could be cool. I'm looking at the cast list of people like Ethan Hawke. Again, you've got a lot of really good. Rutger Hauer is in this. Like the cast is amazing.
Ethan Hawke, aka the most confusing non-movie star in the history of movies.
Is he the least movie star, or the most unmovie star movie star, or is he the most movie star unmovie star? Like what is?
He's confusing because I feel like he should maybe not Brad Pitt, but like he should be just like a step below Brad Pitt, and maybe he is because we all know who Ethan Hawke is. But like it's weird that he makes just these super weird movies. Like, and he can make like Training Day, and then like disappear, and then make like Taking Lives, which is fantastic, and then disappear. It's he has the weirdest career. I don't understand Ethan Hawke at all.
Yeah, he does. Like. He seems to have this rotation of like art passion movie and then blockbuster. Cause you see like Training Day and then a random movie called The Jimmy Show. And then he does Before Sunset and then he does Assault on Precinct 13 and then Fast Food Nation. You know, I'm excited. They made a Daybreakers movie. I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah. They made a Daybreakers movie.
What? Like that. The original was terrible. Like, why did they make an American remake of that? Sorry. Took
Ethan
a hard
Hawke.
Left turn.
Ethan Hawke, that's the answer.
Sorry, we took a hard left turn looking through Ethan Hawke's filmography.
I told you, it's dangerous. It's weird. It's a weird place. One last thing that I saw recently, I saw late this afternoon, that we knew this was happening, but it's official. Mystery Science Theater 3000 coming back. 14 episodes, going to be on Netflix. Jonah Ray's the lead host. You know him from The Nerdist or The Meltdown with Jonah Ray and Camille Nanjiani. Is that how you say his name? I always forget.
That's all I could do.
But he's great. He's funny. You know who Jonah Ray? Do you know who Jonah Ray is?
The name is super familiar.
All right. I want you to look up Jonah Ray after this, and I want you to text me about how much he looks like BDM.
I'm looking him up right now.
Look him up now. I'll continue.
Oh, wow.
It creeps me out every time, right?
Even the poses he makes in pictures look like
his
your
facial
brother.
Expressions. Yeah, yeah, every time I watch him on television, BDM's my brother, by the way. Every time I watch him in television, I'm just like, holy crap. Like, we might be related. But I think he's great. I think he's going to be funny. Mystery Science Theater, like, any comedy ability that I have, any timing that I possess, was informed by that television show. I absolutely adored that television show. It used to come on Sci-Fi on Saturday and Sunday mornings when everybody else was watching Recess. I was watching Mystery Science Theater 3000. I loved that show. I think it was perfect. And I can't wait for that show to come on Netflix.
Well, and you're glossing over that Felicia Day and Patton Oswalt will also be in this.
Well, it was kind of Patton Oswalt's thing, I think.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, let's bring this back. And you know, I'm glad he's got, you know, we're with you, Patton. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, I love Felicia Day is one of my like low-key comedy people. Like, I think she's really funny. I'll sit if I get bored and I'll catch up on her weird like World of Warcraft MMO internet short thing that she did. It's on Netflix, which is really weird. So I'll just put it on and watch it for like 3 hours while I fold laundry. But I think
she's 3 hours to fold laundry
because I'm watching TV most of the time, Raymond, get with the program. I really think that could be, I mean, it's hard to go wrong with Mystery Science Theater. Like, it really, it's impossible.
I think Joel McHale's writing for it. And Dan Harmon's writing for it. It's just gonna be perfect. I can't wait.
I wonder if they're like, will they release like a lineup of movies that they're gonna do beforehand, or
that would be amazing. Yeah, that would be perfect.
Or I mean, part of it will be a surprise. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Do they redo any of the famous ones from the original? Like, there's so many questions I have.
Well, like, so I think that they should, like, they always used to do like 50s B movies. I bet for monetary reasons. I wish they could update and do like some of the terrible 80s and 90s movies. That would be fantastic.
You know, it had like a $5 million Kickstarter. Like, you probably got a little bit of coin in your pocket.
They could do Thanksgiving. They could do Orca.
Can we talk about like Thanksgiving back when Netflix was awesome?
Yeah, exactly. That was when Netflix was beautiful. Thanksgiving was peak Netflix.
It really like you could just go and like fall into the Netflix hole and watch terrible stuff. And now it's like the same 8 movies and the same 4 TV shows. And I'm like, I mean, I've seen Peaky Blinders already, so like I could watch it again. But
have you gotten to Stranger Things yet? I know that's all the thing. Have you gotten into it yet?
I almost started watching it yesterday, and then I realized that I still need to unpack, and so I was like, I'll put on something that I can leave on in the background, so I put on The Flash. Like, The Flash is my I-don't-need-to-pay-attention show. Like, if I put it on, it's a procedural, and it's a CW show, essentially, so I don't have to pay attention. They did this really terrible Flash versus Arrow episode. Apparently season 2 gets really good. It's a fun show, but it's so CW it hurts.
Yeah, you'll notice we skipped that part of the DC DC announcements at Comic-Con. I need nothing to do. I don't care anything about Legends of Tomorrow. You can leave all of that at my door because I'm not interested. All right. So that's about it from Comic-Con. There's a lot more probably, but that was kind of the stuff that stuck out to us. Let's move on to our weekly segment, my favorite weekly segment, apparently.
Yeah, Raymond's just been drinking water, unless that water bottle is not water.
Well, you know, I do the Lindsay Lohan every now and again. that is a don't sleep. So what's your don't sleep for this week?
I was going to talk about a movie, but maybe it's Raymond's Jum and Tonic that he has in his bottle there.
Them jummy legs.
Oh, we can't go an episode without an obscure Scrubs reference. My don't sleep on it is a film called Goon. I don't know if I've talked about Goon before. But as a fan of sport, like you've heard us talk about it. Raymond and I are both sports fans. Raymond is still a sports writer. I'm a reformed sports writer, as I like to call it. So I love a good sports movie. I love a good underdog movie. And Goon is a fantastic sports movie. If you don't mind a little swearing, a little objectionable material from time
mind
to time,
it, I encourage it.
it's really, really funny. It stars Sean William Scott, who is, again, like, he is ridiculously funny. You watch him in movies that shouldn't be good, and you're like, oh, he was good. Like, Cop Out, like, Bruce Willis was awful, but you give me Sean William Scott and Tracy Morgan on screen for 90 minutes, and I'm in. But Goon, he's a bouncer in a bar. He has these dreams of playing hockey, and so he works his way up the leagues as an enforcer. And he idolizes another enforcer played by Liev Schreiber. And the whole movie builds to him, like, you know, the dream in the sports movie is always like, oh, we're going to win the championship. Oh, we're going to do this thing. And the whole build of the movie is him fighting Liev Schreiber. Like, that's the build of the movie. Now, it's obvious, like, that's the microcosm of, like, him, you know, his, like, the team is terrible and he's the only person on the team that cares. But he, like, they're getting blown out and he goes out there and enforces anyways. You've got, like, the disillusioned star who's playing in the minor leagues and doing drugs. It's really genuine. It's got a genuine heart to it. Like, you don't, you see it and you're like, wow, that was a surprisingly heartfelt movie. And so I really enjoy it. Again, I love a good underdog movie. If you're into sports movie and don't mind a little bit of R-rated content, check out Goon. It's coming back to Amazon Instant this month. So if you haven't seen it and you have Amazon Prime, which why don't you at this point, check out Goon on Amazon.
Mine is much more ridiculous than even Goon. So I was trolling through Comic-Con news and I came to a Nickelodeon announcement.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm about to say?
Yes, I saw it and I thought about it.
For the Legend of the Hidden Temple
movie.
The television movie. They go to like, apparently the plot of this movie, and it's bad. Like, it's made for kids. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like any Disney Channel movie, like Smart House. Like, it's like that level of bad, but I'm still going to watch it, obviously.
Oh, for sure.
But they go to a theme park and they're doing the Legend of the Hidden Temple. They run off and they found out that the Hidden Temple is real. And then they have to go through like all like the Shrine of the Silver Monkeys and the Steps of Knowledge and all of that stuff is real. And Olmec is real. And it makes me so happy. Like, I watched the trailer with glee. I will watch that movie for sure. I know that it's made for 7-year-olds and 12-year-olds, but I don't care. That movie looks awesome, and I plan to watch it for sure.
Yeah, my biggest complaint about that trailer was not enough Olmec. Yeah. But they even got the host of the original show to like be the host of the cheesy like Disneyland show about it.
Mark Fogg, I think, is his name.
Yeah, he's like the C team. You know, he's no Mark Summer. Summer Sander
or Michael Street. Mally? Was it
Michael Mally? It was Michael. Oh my gosh, it was Michael Mally.
You have it, Goods.
Omar Gooding. Let's just talk about Omar Gooding for a minute.
Quality.
Love it.
Summer Sanders. Where is Summer Sanders? Do they still make that NBA countdown show? With
Ahmad Rashad?
Yeah, with Ahmad Rashad. Because that's what she was on, right?
That seems Tuesday. More of your territory. That seems way more of your territory. Obscure references.
Friday.
Yeah. Wow. Hold on.
Who hasn't seen that show? Everybody's seen that show.
Most people have seen that show. Let's be real here. But knowing where Summer Sanders is definitely your area of the.
I'm finding it. I'll find you, Summer. That sounded real creepy, but I'm just gonna look you up on IMDb. Like that's
You gonna send her a check like you do, Lily Sobieski every month? So $5.
Julia Stiles. I said Julia Stiles 15. I feel like she needs a little extra help.
I don't know where to go with that. We have to be done. Let's get out of here before this gets any weirder.
Yeah, let's call it a night. All right, so that's it. That's it for us. I hope you liked the episode. Wherever you find us, be sure to rate, review, subscribe. You can not talk about the last 5 minutes of this episode in your review. Or you can.
Just ignore it.
Yeah, just move past it. We're getting past it. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at RM Summerlin. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at GH Goodridge. And until next time, stay woke.
Stay woke.